The reading today is taken from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to be preaching this morning about Bible study. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to turn to the passage and follow it. If not, it's on the back of the news sheet, so if you'd like to follow it on there. As part of my gap year I've been doing here at Tabernacle, I've been working alongside the church maintenance team. And it's been really good, and it's really blessed me working alongside the team. And I've learned from their many years of experience. They do such a great job in this church. One of the main lessons I've learned since being on the team is that each tool has its job, and you need to use the right tool for the job at hand. Otherwise, you could damage the tool, or yourself, or make a mess of the job. For example, when making a hole in a wall close to a wire, don't use a chisel, as it has a sharp edge, and if it cuts through a live wire, you could electrocute yourself, or in my case, break the chisel and get it stuck in the wall. In a similar way, the Bible and Bible study should take a prominent role in any disciple's toolbox. The Bible is the right tool for nearly every situation, and if it isn't the right tool, then it is the guidebook telling us how to use the right tool. I'm sure that every person here would have heard the phrase at some point, a good workman never blames his tools. I've certainly heard that phrase a lot. It is important that we know how to use the tools that God has given to us efficiently and effectively. In the first part of this morning's passage, Paul displays the characteristics of an effective worker for Christ. Paul is informing Timothy how to be an effective teacher and an effective Christian. He is doing this by using his own life as an example. We can learn a lot about how to live as God's workforce through Paul's charge to Timothy. Paul is writing this to Timothy following his discussions in the first 10 verses of 2 Timothy 3, which were about the godlessness that will come in the world, how people will worship things other than God, and how there will be false teachers in the world. This shows us the importance of the lesson Paul is giving in this morning's passage. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 12 together, and then view the characteristics of an effective worker for Christ. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The first characteristic we see here is Paul being open with Timothy. In these two verses, he is saying to Timothy, look, you know all about my life, everything good and everything bad, all my persecutions and all my struggles. He is making everything crystal clear to Timothy. Paul was Timothy's mentor. They travelled together for years, and Paul describes Timothy as his dear son. So Timothy and Paul knew everything about each other. In John 18, verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they knew what I said. In making his life open for all to see, Paul was striving to follow the teaching of Jesus. As Christians, we should be doing the same. It is very easy to live more than one life, one in church and one out of church. I think many of us have been in this situation at times. Our lives need to be clear for all to see. We shouldn't try hiding things from people at church, and we shouldn't try hiding things from people outside of church, and we certainly shouldn't try hiding things from God, as that never works out well. I'm not saying we need to broadcast our lives to all people. We just need to be truthful. If someone asks us a question about our lives, let's tell them the truth. I'm the first to admit that I have failed with this in the past, but we need to strive to be better. At the same time, as Christians, we shouldn't judge each other. We should help each other and hold each other accountable. God should be our only judge. So when someone is open with you, don't judge them, just try to help them. When I started my gap year here at church, I was really scared about telling people who aren't Christians about what I was doing and what God was calling me to. But I did, and God gave me strength to do so and made something that I thought would be very hard, very easy for me to do, because I was doing it for God and God was calling me. If we are open about our lives in order to glorify God, he will be with us in our openness, however difficult things may be. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." So let's make our lives open and clear for all to see. Paul starts off his charge to Timothy in verses 10 to 12 by listing a number of things that Timothy knows about him. The first thing Paul listed was his teaching. By the phrase, "my teaching," Paul was referring to his true faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As God's workforce, we should only be teaching and learning the truth that is in the Bible. We should definitely be learning the truth of the gospels. We should not be false teachers like those Paul refers to earlier in 2 Timothy 3. If we are not teaching and learning the truth that's in the word, then there is no point in doing what we are doing, as it is not glorifying to God. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the belt of truth as part of the armour of God. In order to put on the belt of truth, we need to be learning, thinking, and speaking the truth that is in the Bible. The second thing Paul puts in the list of things that Timothy knows about him is his way of life. Paul, following the teaching of Jesus, practiced what he preached. For example, Paul says in verse 12, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." Paul, in this very letter, is preaching persecution. He is writing this letter from within a cell in Rome. In writing this very letter, he is practicing what he is preaching. As God's workforce, we should be striving to put into practice what we are learning and what we are preaching. Again, this is a challenge to all of us that isn't easy, but we need to strive to be like Jesus, as Paul is doing here. The next four things listed by Paul are purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. The reason that Paul has been open, teaching what is true and practicing what he preaches, is because of his purpose in life. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says this, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." That is such a great purpose in life, to give up everything to do God's will and to complete the task that God has given to us. This should be our purpose as Christians. We should be willing to give up everything to do God's will. Another very challenging prospect, but it's the truth. Alongside purpose, Paul lists faith, patience, love, and endurance. These are all things that Paul had and needed to fulfill his purpose. And these are gifts we should be asking God for and striving to have. As God's workforce, we need to make our purpose glorifying God through openness, truth, and practicing what we learn and preach. In doing so, increasing in faith, learning patience, growing in love, and through all things, we need to keep on keeping on. Paul lives a very godly life, yet is persecuted greatly. In verse 11 of this evening's passage, Paul says to Timothy, "You know what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra." We can read more about Paul's persecutions in these places in the book of Acts. Paul was persecuted for what he believed and what he was preaching everywhere he went, from town to town. Yet he kept on preaching and teaching. And that is what Jesus did. In John 15, Jesus says, If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. We know that Jesus was persecuted, and he has tended us to expect persecution, just as Paul was doing in his letter to Timothy, when he says in verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. As Christians, we are Satan's number one target. We are on the front line. If you don't think persecution is real, or think you have escaped persecution, then that is very wrong. Persecution is very real. We may only suffer it very mildly, but in our world today, Christians are being killed for what they believe. One study I read on the internet, written in 2006, said that Christians are the most persecuted group in the world, and more than 200 million Christians in over 60 nations face persecution each day. In Britain today, Christian values are seriously under threat. For example, we have all seen on the news recently the case in which a homosexual couple were refused accommodation in a single room by a Christian couple who were simply upholding their Christian values. Subsequently, they faced prosecution. This could be seen as a form of persecution towards this couple who were just upholding their values. We are God's workforce. We are going to face persecution. And if we are not facing it, then maybe we should challenge our Christian witness. I know this seems a bit tough, but there is a glimmer of light to this passage. Paul goes on to show Timothy and to show us how we can battle through this persecution. In verse 17, Paul says, be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm going to refer again to Ephesians 6, which tells us to put on the full armour of God. This means studying the Bible, knowing the word of God, and using it to our advantage. In that case, I think we'd better look at the characteristics of the word of God and the value of them to God's workforce. These are displayed in verses 13 to 17. Let me read these verses to you. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from which you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Before looking at the main characteristics of the word, it is important that we analyse what is said in verse 13. Paul states that evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'm not going to avoid the truth here, so bear with me. The people referred to in this verse are being deceived by Satan, and the only way to defeat Satan is through the truth of God's word. The great thing about God's word is it holds truth for people of all ages, from all situations. Timothy was taught the scriptures from a very young age by his mother and grandmother, and Paul was still stressing to him in this letter the importance that he continues in his studies. The Bible is relevant and important to all people, so these characteristics are important to every person here. So firstly, Paul says to Timothy, you have known the scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the first characteristic of the word is that it makes you wise for salvation. The word tells us everything we need to know about Jesus. It tells us the who, the what, the why, and the how. The Bible tells us the truth, and it tells us how to get saved, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to make notice of the words through faith, used in verse 13. As without faith in Jesus Christ, we can't be saved. If you have faith in Jesus and have never asked him into your life, you can do that today, as faith and commitment lead to salvation. The second key characteristic of God's word is that all scripture is God-breathed, as seen in verse 16. In other words, God put the words of the scriptures into the hearts, minds, and mouths of those who wrote them. In that respect, the words of the scriptures are those of humans, but are at the same time completely divine. They are God-breathed. A balloon without air in it is shapeless, but when blown up, it takes on a clear form and is then useful. It is breathed into. In a similar way, the words of the Bible are God-breathed. God has given shape and authority to the words written by humans. God has given the words of the scriptures such a shape that makes them continually relevant universally and relevant to people of every age and culture. I think the fact that one book can be relevant to all people, everywhere and so many years after it was written, is clear evidence of its divine and God-breathed nature. Matthew 4, verse 4, says that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word is our sustenance. It is as important as food and water is to us, as it comes from the mouth of God. Thirdly and finally, the word of God educates us to think and live as God would like us to. It trains our mind, our body, and our soul. Verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training." So what can we learn from Paul here? Well, firstly, the word of God educates our minds and souls. It is useful for teaching and rebuking. It tells our minds how we should be living and what we need to know to be effective Christians and how to have a faith, and it teaches us how to keep our souls clean and full of the Spirit. The word also educates our bodies. It corrects and trains. We all make mistakes. We all sin and do things wrong. The word is our guide that shows us the error of our ways and gives us the training needed to live righteously. The word of God doesn't just educate our physical bodies, but it also educates the body of Christ as a whole. It shows God's workforce how to be effective in working together and how to sort things out when we aren't living together as a body should. An example of the word of God educating the body of Christ to work together is Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, which say, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We need to study the Bible, as it isn't just a book. It is a God-breathed study manual, which educates every part of us and makes us wise for salvation. There is a lot of evil and persecution in the world, and that isn't going to get any better. But we can be better. We can be lights in the darkness. We just need to set ourselves apart from what is false and focus on what is true, using the tools that God has given to us and living like Jesus himself lived, just as Paul has guided us to do in this evening's passage. Through us knowing the truth, we will have the joy of leading others to a knowledge of the truth. That is part of God's purpose for our lives. I have talked about the importance of studying the Bible and why we should study the Bible through the passage read this evening. I just want to discuss how to study the Bible, just to end this morning's sermon. Well, everyone studies in a different way, but let me just give you a few ideas and a few things that help me. Listen to sermons and bring your Bible with you and a notepad and make notes, then go away and look more into the passage. Perhaps join a small group if you're not in one already and try to attend regularly. Through discussing the Bible within a close group, you can have deeper discussions and dig deeper into a passage. You can learn together and have accountability within a group. Study the Bible with a close friend or relative, again for accountability and to get another opinion on the passage. However, it is important that every single person sets aside time for personal Bible study and prayer every day. Through spending time alone with God, it gives you the opportunity to build a closer personal relationship with God. You can use Bible study notes if you find them helpful, and you can do it at a time that suits you. But in deciding when suits you best, consider spending time with God when you're at your best in the day, whether that is morning, afternoon, or evening. That's up to you to decide. As long as we all try our best to have a personal relationship and personal Bible study and prayer with God. I would like to leave you with the words of Matthew 4, verse 4. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his light to shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Let's share in the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.